I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it.
That's the Ray Charles brand of headphones.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, sound was very important to him.
It is. It's one of the only things he can experience.
Sound, Diet Pepsi. Uh huh. Heroin.
Yep.
That's the way it goes. But okay. Good day, people of Earth, and welcome to I Like to Movie Movie. My name is Dan Scully.
I'm Stephen Richards.
I'm glad.
Welcome to the Oscars.
I'm glad you could clamp down that yawn that you clearly had there right before
you
said
your name.
No, it's
actually a burp. It was a
okay. burp. Even better. Then why is it making me yawn?
I yawn-cepted you.
Yawn-ception is the worst. But yes, this is our Oscars episode, a yearly treat where we're going to go through some of the nominations, make some predictions, make some hopes. Go through the important categories, or at least the categories that are interesting to our listeners, and have a little fun talking about the Oscars, which, as much as I love them, I want to go on record as saying that they are profoundly fucking stupid.
I hate them.
Because the real Oscars were the millions and millions and millions of dollars that we made along the way. That's the real reward.
This used to be my Super Bowl.
Well, I think
and
that
now
it's
the
like,
Super Bowl is my Super Bowl.
Yes, yeah. I think that there is some exciting, like, for example, like last year, Best Picture was won by a legitimately independent film that was made by a small crew of people, granted with some star power, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
And like, that's really cool, you know, and that was, in my estimation, one of the best pictures of the year. A year before that was Coda, which wasn't a big blockbuster. What, you know, it was a minor film that, you know, the argument against it is that it pretty much immediately disappeared after it won Best Picture. But I thought it was a good movie. And in a world where the Oscars aren't the be-all, end-all, I think it's very cool that a small movie like Coda could go and win Best Picture. You know, that's fucking cool, you know. So, you know, it's got its ups and downs. I know that they're always trying to work ways to be more inclusive, more this, more that, more the other thing. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, it's just a big old award show that you watch. And that's
and maybe someone will get slapped on stage, you know?
To his credit, that Oscars ceremony was one of the worst in all of history. And in 1 second flat, Will Smith turned it into the best Oscars ceremony that we have ever had. And I say that partially joking and partially because, as I always say, celebrities are not real.
They're not.
So it's all okay.
No.
They're not real. But yes, so yes, this is I Like to Movie Movie, which is at Movie Movie Cast on all of the things. And I invite you in this moment to follow our other show, Hot Property, at Hot Property Pod.
I also invite you.
Yes, we invite you
come
together
on in
as co-hosts
is that Buffalo
of the
dip?
Same show.
Oh, you didn't have to bring Buffalo Dip, but we will eat this.
The thing is, I always have Buffalo Dip, so this wasn't even for the party. Oh. This was just out because I like to rinse my hands in it before I eat other things. And, yeah, by all means. Yeah, dive into the Buffalo Dip. I love it.
Great.
So, the Oscars. This year, let me pull up the list. I mean, overall, I'll just say this. I think that the nominees are, you know, like, you can't nominate everything.
Yes, you can. Cowards.
If they were not the Oscars, you could. I mean, like, if I was just listing every movie that came out this year, then I could nominate everything. But with the Oscars, it's like, yeah, there's limited slots. And I think that the spate of nominees that we have this year are pretty much exactly what I expected across the board.
Where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, I think we should start where I'm at right now. Like, I think that there were things that were excised, and it stinks, but there were also things that were honored that were unexpected. But I think generally across the board, I expected to see Oppenheimer,
yeah.
Barbie, Anatomy of a Fall, what are the other big guys?
Holdovers.
Holdovers.
Maestro.
Flower Moon. Things, Killers of the Flower Moon. You know, these are all things that, like, if someone said, can you guess what the nominees are going to be? I think I probably could have done the big main categories with an over 85% accuracy rate. And I think most people who have, like, a passing knowledge of movies, movie business, and movie culture probably could have done the same.
I am a little, and, like, I don't want to beat this to death too much because it was covered by every outlet.
Yeah, but it's not covered by us, so let's talk about it.
All right, well, it is kind of fucked up that, you know, Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie were not nominated, I think.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to counteract that by saying that both of them are nominated.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie is nominated for Best Picture because she is producer on Barbie. And Greta Gerwig is nominated for, I believe, the script, Best Adapted Screenplay. For Barbie, so they are
which
nominated.
Also doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean? That follows
the original screenplay.
The rules for adapted just mean that it has to be based on a pre-existing IP.
I know what the rules are. I'm disagreeing with them.
And you know, honestly, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree with that. I'm going to counter that though, and I'm going to say this: I do think that Greta Gerwig should have been nominated for director for Barbie.
Me too.
Because I think that in my mind, I actually think that the script for Barbie is not that good.
Same. The whole executive bit could have been cut.
Could have been cut. I actually think that the big America Ferrera speech that everyone's talking about, I think that that's dog shit. That speech is the most pandering bullshit I've ever heard. And I hate when a movie just tells you what it's about, and that's what that is doing. You know, like
that is what happened, but I liked it, you know.
I mean, I appreciate the intention of it. I just think that there was a better way to do it. But, you know, we already did an episode on Barbie, but I think that if I'm nominating Barbie for anything, it's costumes, makeup, production design, direction. I'm not nominating any of the actors. I think that Margot Robbie as Barbie is the least interesting part of that whole movie. And I think that that's actually by design. It's all the other Barbies. It's the Kens. It's America Ferrera's character. It's the story. That's the kind of stuff that sticks with me. Barbie is almost like a placeholder in that movie. No love lost to Margot Robbie, who does a good job. I just, when I think of that movie, like, yeah, she's the lead actress, but I don't see that like her carrying a movie. I see that as, you know, she's just in the movie. But that said,
I disagree, but
if she were nominated, I wouldn't push against it because I don't think it's necessarily undeserved. But Best Actress is like the bottom of the list of things I would nominate Barbie for.
I think Ryan Gosling's reaction to him being nominated was the reaction I also had, where it was like, what?
Yeah. What am I doing here? Ken got nominated for Barbie?
Yeah,
but the thing is,
I don't
think
that he. I think he did well in the role, but I don't think it was nomination worthy.
No, and that, you know, and that's the thing. I think everybody in that movie does a really good job with what they're working with. It's just when I think of like,
stop putting him in stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, he wasn't even really doing a role. He was just playing. He was just the novelty of John Cena showing up. You know, it was just a look who we actually know. We know John Cena. But, you know, it is what it is. But, no, I would have absolutely nominated Gerwig for direction. I mean, that the direction on that was
the direction
brilliant.
Was so good.
It was
and
brilliant.
So creative.
So creative. And, like, to me, that's the kind of thing that should get nominated for direction.
Yeah.
Because, like I remember back in the day, like, Little Miss Sunshine got nominated for Best Director. And don't get me wrong, that's a great movie, and the directors did a good job. But, like, to me, the direction is not what stands out about that movie. It's the performances. It's the story. It's the plot. Whereas like Barbie, like that is showcasing what we're honoring when we honor a director. You know, like there's direction happening there. I always think of when Ang Lee won for Life of Pi, but Life of Pi didn't really do damage anywhere else. But it's like, you know, he directed the shit out of that movie. You know, like that to me is where your avatars shine, you know, things like that, because it's, you're actually showcasing a director who's not just, you know, the director is more than just shot composition. You know, it's working with the actors. It's bringing in a film, you know, complete and putting it together and having that vision. But like, you know, if someone says like, who directed this movie harder, Greta Gerwig and Barbie, or, you know, just someone who just filmed a script, it's like, no, she actually went beyond the script there. And I, you know, so that's a snub, I would say, but I'm not offended by it. She's far from the first deserving director to just not get nominated.
Okay, so quick temp check. Let's just jump into a hard question. What is the best picture of the year?
I mean, we can, yeah, you know, fuck it. Let's just do it. So the list of nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Thank you for doing that in alphabetical order, by the way.
It's just how it was listed on the
site. I know, but it's listed in alphabetical order.
So, I mean, that's two questions. And now Stephen has put together a sheet where we are going to be marking up. Is it our predictions or our hopes?
Predictions.
Predictions. Okay. Yeah. Out of all of these, I am predicting that it's going to be Oppenheimer.
Okay. And what is your hope?
My hope? I mean, honestly, that's tough because, like, I would love to see Oppenheimer win. But I gotta say, like, just last week I watched The Holdovers, and The Holdovers would have fucked up my end of year list royally had I seen it earlier, because I think The Holdovers is a legit, like, new American classic. So even though I think Oppenheimer will win and I will relent that it deserves to win, I think deep down in my heart, I'm rooting for The Holdovers.
Interesting.
Lock me in for an Oppenheimer prediction.
Yeah, I put an X next to on the other side of The Holdovers for you as a hope.
Okay, where do you stand?
I haven't seen Anatomy of a Fall yet.
You would love it. It's really good.
And I haven't seen Past Lives or Poor Things or The Zone of Interest.
Wait, you saw Past Lives?
I have seen Past Lives. It was so fucking boring that I forgot I saw it.
I'm afraid to watch Past Lives because I'm in the midst of a breakup and I'm just not ready to do that to myself.
I have not seen in a long, long time a movie more boring than Past Lives.
Oh, it is, no.
Honestly. And here's the thing. It's a beautiful film.
Oh, yeah.
It is a lovely script, and the cinematography and the shot setup and the shot selection is all beautiful to look at. But fuck, I was bored the whole time. It was like going to a museum.
That helps me because that's a movie that I felt I should see. It's a movie that I suspect that I will like. But it's a movie that, as much as I want to support this type of filmmaking and all that, it's a movie that does not interest me at all. I have absolutely no interest in devoting two hours of my life to watching it. And I say this having just watched all five Terminator movies.
It seems like it's definitely the last, like, it was on the bubble of making this list or not for the, like, whatever.
Yeah.
However, my bold prediction is a hope and a prediction at this end once. I think it is and deserves to be Barbie.
Really?
Now, here's the thing, though. I think that I'm going to like Poor Things more.
Probably. Poor Things is fantastic.
And then, so I reserve my right to change because I'm going to see this. I won't have time to see this before this airs, but I will see it before the Oscars. So I would like to leave room for that. And I do think I'm really going to like Anatomy of the Fall. So I really want to leave room for that. But as of right now, of the field that I've seen, Barbie's the best picture of the bunch. And for anything,
my question is, like,
yeah,
I can totally understand wanting it to win. And I would certainly, it would certainly make me happy to see something like Barbie win, because that's very cool. Do you really think it will?
Well, here's the thing.
I don't think it has a chance.
Here's the thing. It goes back to what I was saying when we did our best of the year, where this was the movie that made an event of going to the movies.
That in conjunction with Oppenheimer.
I didn't see anybody dressed up as Oppenheimer going to the movies.
That's just not how that works.
And gaggles of people dressed in pink going to see Barbie multiple times. And I think that the Hollywood is self-filating enough to reward a film for getting us back to the movies big time in a big way. In that vein, it does have a shot, in my opinion.
Why didn't Top Gun win Best Picture last year then by those rules?
Because people weren't fully ready. We thought the pandemic would come back.
Well, no, that's true. I would love to see something like Barbie win Best Picture. That would certainly be cool. I really don't think it, like, to me, the only thing that would give Barbie a chance to win is if Oppenheimer was a split front runner with another one and they do ranked choice voting. And then Barbie gets a lot of second and third places, which puts it over. You know what I'm saying?
I just feel like also if we're going by, and you know, the reality is that we live in a simulation.
Yeah.
It is.
It's the best story.
It is the Taylor Swift era.
Yeah.
And that Barbie winning would, you know, kind of be in that same theme, you know?
Well, I mean, Taylor Swift won the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift won the box office.
She changed the U.S. economy with her concert.
The fact that she won the Super Bowl without actually even playing, she's probably never held a football in her life.
Absolutely wild to me.
So there's a very real chance that they could list the nominees for Best Picture, and then they could say, and the Best Picture Academy Award goes to
Taylor Swift,
just for being you.
Yeah.
And then she, you know, then her private jet lands on the stage and she gets out and she's like surprisingly dorky in the way that she talks. And everyone's like, she's kind of dorky. Oh, I like her. And then she walks away and we all try to look at her butt and we realize she doesn't have one, but it's like great anyway. And then she walks off and makes $1 billion. And I mean, you know, I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people hate on Taylor Swift. I don't know really much about her, but I love that someone like Taylor Swift is essentially our new Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It's cool to see in real time, and I'm happy for her.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I mean, let's be fair, that's the level that Michael Jackson was at. But, Taylor Swift, go get yours, girl. Go crazy. I love it.
I think that if the Academy had the balls to nominate a concert movie for Best Picture, Taylor Swift Eras Tour would be right up there.
Probably. We'd have to go back in time and get Stop Making Sense, Some Kind of Love, because that's the best concert movie ever made.
Also, the Rolling Stones one was pretty good. I saw
Shine a Light.
IMAX, yeah.
I saw that at the KOP IMAX.
That was not bad.
Yeah, that was fun. That was cool. Christina Aguilera came out and did a tune. Jack White came out and did a tune. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm all in on Barbie.
I respect wanting Barbie to win as hard as I can respect it, but expecting Barbie to win, I mean, I might have to eat crow. It could happen, I guess, in the realm that anything could happen. I just don't see it.
Well, again, I haven't seen everything.
It would be awesome. It would be totally cool.
Another one I could see winning is, it could be Maestro.
Yeah.
Maestro was pretty good. I did like it. It definitely, can I bet that I know with certainty it will not be Past Lives. And if it is, I denounce the Academy.
I mean, I've long since denounced the Academy. But
I'll do it again, damn it!
I will re-denounce. I will renounce the denounce. No, I think that Best Picture, though, is, in my mind, and it's so hard to keep Oscar records, but I feel like Best Picture is the home of both, this won and we all expected it to win, and I can't believe that won. Yeah. You know, like, Best Picture, I think, has the highest rate of surprising wins. You know, like, nobody expected Parasite to win until Parasite swept the night. And it was like, oh, shit, it might win this thing, you know? you know, everybody expected La La Land to win, and then it pretended to win, but actually Moonlight won. Yeah. You know, nobody expected Shakespeare
Just
in Love
kidding.
To
it's
be
not
Saving
the white
Private
movie
Ryan. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Like we had Warren Beatty's just very old.
Yeah.
And so yeah, and then Saving Private Ryan lost to Saving Private Ryan and Pulp Fiction lost to Shakespeare in Love, a movie no one thinks about, which it's actually a good movie, but are you kidding me? You know, even Coda was an upset relative. I forget what it was up against, but nobody expected Coda until it pulled a Parasite, and everyone's like, oh, this is winning. So I'm kind of talking myself into it. Maybe Barbie does have a chance.
What do you think is the best picture winner?
The best picture winner?
Yeah.
I mean, the easy
Besides
answer.
Rocky.
Well, say the easy answer is The Godfather, just because everyone says that's the best movie. But, man, the best picture winner? I mean, if I'm picking my favorite, it's fucking Rocky. But,
I just said it can't be Rocky.
I know. That's why I said it with that tone. Man, my favorite? I'm afraid that I'm going to say something and then I'm going to forget something else. I mean, I really did like Parasite. I really loved The Shape of Water. That was a huge surprise. And that movie is one of my all-time favorites. Heck, I'll simp for Birdman. I think Birdman's genius. I don't know. What's your answer? I'd have to look at the best picture list.
Crash.
I should have seen that coming. I should have seen that coming from a mile away. I should have seen that answer coming when you asked me what my favorite best picture
yeah.
was.
That's the entire reason I set it up.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Give you a little applause here. Nicely done.
You know what's fucked up, though, is that, like, as a kid... Because I came out like, what, 2004? So I didn't even graduate high school yet.
I've only seen that movie once. I was a lot younger, but I liked it when I saw it. I know it's bad now, but I haven't seen it again. Never
when I was
see
a kid,
it.
I was like, wow, they're really talking about the hard stuff. The important stuff. And then, like, going back and just seeing some scenes that, like, make their way into my Facebook doom scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, holy shit, why did I ever think this was okay?
This is my defense of Crash, and again, having only seen it once and seeing clips and seeing how like cringy it is we look back at that movie now and we cringe at the way that it looks. But I think one of the fastest evolving conversations in American culture that exists is the conversation about race and how it intersects with culture. So I think that that's a film that a lot of people who don't like it now probably liked it just fine back then. And so whereas we look at it now and we cringe, maybe that was a stepping stone, as flawed as it may be. You know, that's what I always say about Green Book. That was a stupid Best Picture winner. And that's another one that I'm not going to say was reductive about race, but it was rather simplistic. But I'll tell you what, that's a movie that I could show my dad. My dad would enjoy it. And without knowing it, he would come out of it maybe with a little less prejudice.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, I'm not going to show it to, like, my black friend and expect them to learn anything that they haven't known since they were born. But, like, I could show that to my Uncle Rick, who I just made up, and they might come out of it just a little bit less racist. And it's like, maybe that's a good thing, even if the movie's pretty stupid and
I know
basic.
What you mean, because in Hidden Figures, when Kevin Costner knocks down the bathroom sign.
Oh, that, when he desegregates, like, the wrong bathroom because it's a better visual? Fuck that movie.
My dad was like, wow, what a great scene.
And that's why he desegregates the wrong bastard.
The plight of the black person because Kevin Costner did some vandalism to his own office.
I'm the first to talk shit about all the failures of Hidden Figures, but that's another one like Green Book where it's like, that you're right, that's a success where it's like, it's going to make some person who can't have a real conversation about race a little bit better. And with a soft touch, I'll take it.
All right, so as far
as... I'm looking
as...
at the list, though. I want to answer your question.
Oh, yeah.
And looking back at all of these...
I already know what the answer is.
Well, if I know I can't do...
I'm going to write it down.
Okay. I can't do Rocky, so you're saying that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eliminate Godfather, just because even though I love that movie, it's a boring answer. And so I will hit you with my favorite... Best Picture winner, at least going back to 1974, because that's where the list cuts off here, okay. But that's probably fine.
I've written it down.
And so you think you want to guess my favorite Best Picture winner?
Yeah.
You ready?
Right here.
Okay. Annie Hall.
Ah, shit.
Silence of the Lambs I heavily considered, but Annie Hall is one of those movies that, like, speaks to me. I gave very, very serious consideration to Slumdog Millionaire as well.
Oh, yeah. I remember I almost burnt down my friend's apartment while watching that movie.
It's a great movie.
Because I was making fried mozzarella balls, and there was too much moisture in the mozzarella. So if you host an Oscar party this season, please make sure that you pat dry all of your cheeses before you fry them.
This goes for every kind of party as well. It doesn't just have to be Oscar party. Actually, yesterday got in the mail my copy of the book that Slumdog Millionaire is based on. I've had some Slumdog on the brain. I'm going to read that.
It'd be crazy if, like, a year from now you were on Jeopardy and one of the questions is about Slumdog Millionaire. That'd be like,
dude,
full circle.
And then they could fucking, there'll be a movie about me, the guy who lost harder than anyone ever on Jeopardy except for one question. And it'll be called just like Slum Dan $100 Air. It's just a wildly unremarkable story Slum of my Dan life.
Podcast Air.
It's not even, I'm not even on Jeopardy. I'm just watching Jeopardy and I'm like, oh, I know this. That's the big moment.
Yeah. And the panel ends.
And then I forget to answer in the form of a question. I'm like, oh, the answer's Slumdog Millionaire. They're like, no, the answer's what we said. The question is, what is Slumdog Millionaire? No countries up there too. But okay, let's get into the
rapid fire. Let's just go through the acting.
We don't have to rapid fire. We got a little bit of time. We don't have to rapid fire.
All right. Then I'll rapid fire list just the actors in a leading role, and we'll go over those. Actor in a leading role: Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. I think we're both in agreement on this one.
Let me hear what you got for what you want and what you think.
I think Paul Giamatti will win. Actually, you know what? I want Paul Giamatti to win. I think Bradley Cooper is going to win.
Really? Bradley Cooper? Okay, yeah. Well, we're different then, because I think Cillian Murphy's going to win.
Really?
And until I saw The Holdovers, I was rooting for that too. But right now, I am ride or fucking die for Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, because that is a... Like, I wish... Honestly, I would love to do an episode on The Holdovers, because... Truly, when I think about, like, you know what I love about the Oscars, and
wait,
you know
so
why
that's your hope and your prediction.
No, my prediction's Cillian Murphy.
Okay.
My hope is Paul Giamatti. But I just want to make this clear. When I think about the Oscars at their best, you think about the annals of like great cinema. What are you doing, Doris? Get down. She's on the bookshelf. Get off.
When I think about the Oscars at their best, I think about Hugh Jackman singing a musical about the Oscars.
He was the best host they ever had.
Yeah.
there's no touch of that. I'm Wolverine! It was so good. Doris, get down. When I think about, like, Oscars, I think about, like, an AFI montage where you get hit with, there's Jack Nicholson. Oh, look, there's Faye Dunaway. And then it's all these, like, clips.
I get that reference now.
Yes. Oh, yes. Chinatown, baby. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's like those classic moments, and you think about those great classic characters like Popeye Doyle, you know, like, I mean, fucking Marty McFly, like, Clarice Starling from Silence of the Lambs. You think of like all these, like, I think
Julia Roberts,
she was Erin Brockovich, but people would think Pretty Woman, but it's still just like classic cinema kind of stuff. I think that Paul Giamatti's performance as he plays a Paul in that, I think that I can just see that character alongside Alvy Singer from Annie Hall. I can see it alongside just all of those, like Rocky Balboa, as you know, it fits that vibe to me to a T. So I'm rooting for it. Doris, can you not be a nudge? Can you get down, please? Sorry, listeners, my cat is being a nudge. Psst. She wants attention, but I'm going on about movies, so she's doing things she's not supposed to do.
She just wants to be a part of the action, man.
Doris, you're always part of the action, baby. I love you. You're good.
I don't think that Cillian Murphy did any good acting on Oppenheimer.
Wait. See, I'm on the polar opposite of that, so I gotta know what you mean by that.
I just think it was very one note. There wasn't a lot of depth. It was just like constant panic attack. And that was, yeah. I mean, that's not.
See, I thought, in my mind, I thought like he wore.
It reminded me too much of what he does. Kind of when have you seen Peaky Blinders?
No.
So it's a lot of, he has that intensity of how he plays Tommy Shelby in Peaky Blinders without the violence behind it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff that I've seen before, and it didn't really wow me.
I'm blown away that a show called Peaky Blinders has a character named Tom Shelby. Shelby.
And his brother Arthur.
Arthur Shelby. Hard to tell.
His brother Arthur Shelby, by the way, quick side story, just got arrested for cocaine use in the UK, and his lawyer's defense was that, because in the show he plays like an off-the-rails kind of dude who would do a bunch of cocaine and fight people, and his lawyer's defense for him, the actor, was he tries to get in character for his fans.
I'm going to say that if I was on that jury, that's the moment where I would go not guilty. Honestly, for real.
Yeah.
For real. Because did he hurt anybody, or was he just being a drunken asshole?
I think he did try to fight someone outside a pub.
What are we doing? That's what you do outside a pub.
If you know his character on Peaky Blinders, that's basically the equivalent of ordering a cameo, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's so funny. It's not like we're pardoning, you know, Tony Soprano because he killed someone in real life.
Yeah.
This guy just fought a dude at a pub. Get in line.
But anyway, so I think that for me, the whole movie Oppenheimer didn't wow me. I mean, really? I went there for a big noise and I got it.
Yeah. Regarding Cillian Murphy, I think the reason why I think he would deserve it if he won and why I think he's going to win is for Oppenheimer, in my mind, was about this guy who had an appetite for innovation, almost like a fetish for innovation, and midway through innovating starts to realize, like, by opening this Pandora's box, I am opening the box that destroys the Earth with the single push of a button. You know, like, I have created, and I think he wore the duality of, I must pursue this to the end because I must know, and I cannot believe that I am the guy who will ultimately destroy the Earth. I think he wore that duality very well. But I don't disagree that, like, you know, there is a certain range that Cillian Murphy tends to work within. I just think that range was suited nicely for this movie, but...
Like, when he played Scarecrow, that was too much.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that was...
I love it, but I feel you.
That was Cillian Murphy dialed up to 11, and I need him at about, like, a 7 or an 8. And
you don't want Cillian Murphy.
In Oppenheimer, he was, like, a 2.
Yeah. I mean, that's a movie that I really want to watch again, because I've only seen it once, but... I mean, like I said, he got edged out by PG for me.
I mean, I'd be totally fine if Paul Giamatti won.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bradley Cooper has a shot at winning.
Yeah.
Because, man, he really brought it. He brought his A game that Cooper did.
When I first got out of that movie, I was like, oh, shit, he actually could win. But since then, you know, I'm reining it in. I'm reining it in!
Dude, that was really funny. And I laughed out loud at that part. And the person I was with was like, why is that so funny? I'm like, I'll tell you after the movie.
That's so funny. But the reason the line stuck out in my head is, like, it made me laugh in the moment, and then I forgot about it. And then on the internet, people started posting, like, if you start watching Maestro at, you know, 11:30 p.m. on January 31st, New Year's will ring in right as Bradley Cooper's reining it in.
Dude, and, like, the scene where he's conducting – in that chapel was, like, really fucking powerful.
He trained ridiculously just to be able to do that for years. And it's a shame because, like, I watched that. I was like, that is fucking monumental. Like, he does a really good job. But also, like, because I liked Maestro a lot, but I thought it was accidentally kind of silly sometimes, which I think is actually an asset. I think it needs a little bit of that, like, that charm of the silliness. But I thought that there was a few moments in that big conducting scene where he looked like he was Steve Martin doing a goofy character. And it made me chuckle a little bit sometimes.
I can see that.
But, you know.
Actor in a supporting role.
Some asses and made some songs. Support, okay.
Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction. Robert Denero?
Killers. I think he's the new guy.
Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling, Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. What do you got?
Well, here's the thing. This is a tough category for me because, like, Mark Ruffalo, I think, in Poor Things gives his career-best performance. Career-best.
Yeah.
Gosling for Barbie, like, that's fun, but, you know, if Gosling wins, in my mind, it's for other roles. Robert De Niro, that's almost just a legacy pick. You know, he's phenomenal in Killers of the Flower Moon, but he is phenomenal in everything.
Yeah.
This is a Meryl Streep award.
Even it's not undeserved. Grandpa.
It's not undeserved, but it's like, who cares? I'm torn, though, because I think Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction is an inspired choice that I never would have expected. I think that he is really fantastic in American Fiction, which is a fantastic movie. But Robert Downey Jr., I love him. I love him. And he really is exceptional in Oppenheimer. And if just to, like, even though, like, the dude's, like, his career is immaculate, he's unassailable now, I think if just to put the cherry on top of the, like, look what you can do if you get your shit together, and it's a cherry on top that also says, and reminder, the MCU, he made it. He's also better than it now. He can do real shit too. Don't forget that. You know, like, he's Iron Man and Iron Man's the best, but he's also Chaplin. He's also, I forget his name in Oppenheimer, but
he's also Doolittle.
So this is tough. I wanna put it all. I mean, I think Robert Downey Jr. is the win. Like, he will win. I'm torn between him and Sterling K. Brown for what I want. But now you know what? I'm a double dip. RDJ all the way. Let's do it.
For both want and prediction.
And will. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on all sentiments and all points. And I, you know, my only thing that'll add is I'm like, this is what will elevate Robert Downey Jr. From the Prince of Hollywood to the King of Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, he'll go from the pantheon of everybody loves this guy to this guy's one of the great actors.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's enough to get him there. And I think, and it's a while, it's a, he's probably the best performance in Oppenheimer.
Yeah. And like,
Maybe Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
She might be the best.
I can see that too. But yeah, like, I know I just trashed the movie, but I do think that his performance and Emily Blunt's performance and even Florence Pugh.
Jason Clarke.
Yep. Everybody did a really good job except for Cillian Murphy.
No!
So, Cillian, no. If you do win, make sure you thank everyone around you because you're only as good as your scene partner.
Cillian, I'm still with you, buddy. But I'm with Paul.
So I am on Team RDJ for the win, but I'm putting an X next to my hope category for Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction because, man, he was just an inspired character in that movie. If you want to talk about duality, that dude had a lot of it.
I think I want to switch my want.
Okay.
Because now that you've showed some balls and picked Sterling K. Brown, I respect it so much because deep in my heart, like, yeah, that is, I actually want to see him holding that statue. Also, he kind of looks like an Oscar, so that's just going to be cool in, like, a physical sense. But he really is great in that movie. He's very funny, but very, like, moving. And he's he's like a tremendous actor just across the board. Nobody looks or sounds like Sterling K. Brown.
He's awesome.
I also just want to say this. Oh, sorry, this is not in this category. It was the best actor category. But I just want to shout out in the best actor category, Colman Domingo in Rustin. That movie is not terribly good, but he is very good in it. Like, he's so good in it that it's worth watching a movie that's not very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. But also too, like, the character of Rustin, the character of Rustin is a person that I had never even heard of except for that movie. And it's fucked up because, like, he should be a historical figure that we learn about in school, you know?
Also, Colman Domingo. Sorry.
Oh,
now I'm yawning from earlier. That was the residual. I think Colman Domingo, correct me if I'm wrong, is from Philadelphia.
He is indeed.
Yeah.
And he's got a voice. He doesn't use it in Rustin, but I would pay Colman Domingo $25 an evening if, as I fell asleep, he read me bedtime stories in his voice because it is smooth velvet.
Check the Calm app.
God. It's just, So I'll check. No, I'm going to check Cameo. I'm going to be like, listen, Colman.
Is he on Cameo?
I would imagine that as an Oscar nominee, he is not on Cameo.
You never know, man.
Yeah, that's true.
That one dude who played the pirate in Captain Phillips is on Cameo for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little bit different story for a lot of reasons.
Olivia Colman is on Cameo.
How much does she charge? She like $800?
Shit. She's not available currently.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't available currently. Brian Unger's no longer available currently.
What?
Yeah, I've been trying to buy a fucking The Continental Brian Unger thing for ages now, but he's been off.
Colman Domingo is not available on.
Is he even on it?
No.
Oh, so you can't read me bedtime stories. All right, what's
Chuck
the next?
Chuck Norris is on Cameo.
Chuck Norris is?
Yeah.
How much does he charge? He probably charges way too much.
$450.
I would rather die. Because here's the thing about Chuck Norris. I love Chuck Norris. I love Chuck Norris movies. I love the lore of Chuck Norris. But Chuck Norris sucks. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
I will watch every... I will watch fucking Silent Rage 10 times in one day if there's enough hours to permit it. And I will have a blast. And it'll be because of Chuck Norris. But I have no desire to connect with that guy. He's like a fucking... Christian fundamentalist, anti-drug, pro-heavy drug law, just kind of like dork loser who can't really act, but oh, he can kick real high in jeans. Got it.
Do you, we gotta move on.
Let's move on.
Do you know how much it costs to book Fran Drescher, leader of SAG-AFTRA?
Man, she's the best. I mean, I would pay upwards of 700, but I bet she's only like 250.
No.
Huh?
She's one of the higher end, higher tier, $1,000 for the
Hey, club. You know what? That is, Fran Drescher is a treasure. Her name might as well be Fran Treasure.
Alright, Actress in a leading role.
Actress in a leading role.
Annette Bening, is it Naiad?
I don't know, and I don't care. This is another movie where I just, like, there is no ounce of my being that has any interest in watching it.
Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. I know who I want to win.
Who do you want to win?
Is Carrie Mulligan for Maestro.
Cool. Okay.
And I think that Lily Gladstone is going to win. Because the Oscars, as we have seen in the years past, are on a bit of an apologist tour.
Yes. And what group of people actually deserves more of an apology at this point?
What group of people, based on famous incidents in the past, have yet to be apologized to by the Academy? Yeah. That would be the Native Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really, we're really just dancing on all those graves, aren't we?
Lily Gladstone will be, accepting on behalf of, a century of mistreating Native Americans in the film industry.
But you know, though, at the same time, if she wins, not at all undeserved. She is the heart and soul of Killers of the Flower Moon, and she is good in that movie. Yeah. She's just a good actress overall. But I gotta say, for me, I think Want. I think I'm gonna go Want is Sandra Hüller.
Now I am leaving my heart open for Sandra Hüller to really, because man, those trailers look fucking good.
There's a scene where it's a flashback of just her and her husband having a really big argument. And it is so well written. It feels so real. It feels like a real argument. It's not heightened for a movie. It's like chilling how real it is. And she, I mean, home fucking run. And that's what that's resting on. But who do I think will win? I think Emma Stone is going to win.
Emma Stone, huh?
And I'll tell you what. She's probably my second choice behind Sandra Hüller, just because Poor Things is that good, and she's really that good in it.
So, two-time Oscar winner Emma Stone, you think, by the end of Sunday?
I think that, why not? You know, I mean, she's got the goods, and the fact that if she were to win this, she would win it for a strange, unique performance made by a strange, unique filmmaker in a movie that is playful, sure, but it's fucked up and it's weird. And like, when The Shape of Water won Best Picture, that always like spoke to me, because I was like, oh, they picked a weird movie. That's fucking cool. You know, the weird movie won. And like, Poor Things is a weird movie. The dude made Dogtooth, for Christ's sake. It's a weird movie, and she is absolutely incredible in it. But I think that she's kind of won on the awards trail right now. She's taken home a lot of wins. So, like, she got the BAFTA. Emma Stone has. So, like, I think she's going to roll that all the way through to the end.
Keep rolling like them biscuit, Emma.
It's very close. Like, I almost want my Want to be Emma Stone, but I think I'm sticking with Sandy Hills for Want. But Emma Stone, I'm almost positive will.
All right. Actress in a supporting role, Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera Barbie, Jodie Foster for Nyad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers.
First off, I want to point out that I noticed that you did pronounce it Oppenheimer, and I don't know why you did that, if it was just to set me off, but if you did, it worked. And I have to throw in, I have not seen The Color Purple, because I've never seen the original movie, so like I didn't want to see the musical. And again, I am not even I am more interested in my morning shit tomorrow than I am in watching Nyad. That said, Jodie Foster is a person who I like respect on a cellular level. I love her, and I'm sure she's phenomenal in it, but I think that, this is so tough, because it's putting me in the best actor category again. Because to me, it's between Blunt and Randolph. I think Emily Blunt will win. And, I'm so torn, because I really think Emily Blunt, like, is just, like, amazing in Oppenheimer, but so is Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. You know what? I think I'm going to double blunt it. I think that's my want and will. You're
double blunting? Okay.
I'm double blunting.
I am going to split off. I'm going to predict Emily Blunt. So we're in alignment for both supporting roles.
Yeah.
I am going to put my ex, my hopeful ex, over at Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, because she elevated that movie to something that it may otherwise have not had been.
You talked me into it. I think I want her.
All right.
Yeah. Shift it. Because when I close my eyes and think about certain scenes from The Holdovers, like, her presence is like really felt. Whereas like Emily Blunt, I actually don't think I could isolate a scene. I just remember coming out of that movie and going, wow, she was like really fantastic.
Emily Blunt, really good. Yeah.
So yeah, but I think Blunt will win, and it would be deserved. But no, I think I want DVJ.
DVJR.
DVJR.
She was, amen. You know what really is awesome? How much whiskey she drank.
She drank so much whiskey. Dude, that scene, at the end when she pulls out her mug drawer.
Yeah.
Where her whiskey mugs are, and the mug of Paul Giamatti's is still there, but he's moving on. Oh, what a moment.
Yeah, she really nailed that role.
When he tells that one kid, "Well, you just shut up!"
And when she starts crying.
She has been through so much, you have no idea! You have no idea!
When she starts crying about her son at the party, broke my heart. Yeah.
She was like, "Don't you fucking touch that radio." Like, whoa! Yeah, she was good. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Animated films? Did you see
it? Oh, wait, let's do director and screenplay.
All right, right. Well,
yeah, those are a couple.
They
big
don't put
ones.
It in the right order here. Hang on.
I got best director. I'll read them out. So best director: Justine Triet, Anatomy of a Fall; Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon; Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer; Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things; and Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest.
I've only seen two of these movies, so it's going to be hard for me to give a want at this moment, because I think that I want...
Well, what have you seen, and what do you want between the two?
Killers of the Flower Movement and Oppenheimer, but it's the two...
You son of a bitch.
These are the two movies I hated the most. Besides Past Lives, which, again, I forgot about.
Wait, you hated these movies?
I didn't hate them. But, man, Killers of the Flower Moon was a chore to get through.
It's a slow burn, but I thought
it was perfect. If I wasn't in the theater for Oppenheimer, then I wouldn't have been there at all, I don't think.
You son of a bitch. I'm checking out a little bit and respecting you a little bit less every time you say Oppenheimer.
I mean, there were certainly...
That might be the way to pronounce it. I actually don't know. I didn't know the guy.
It's Oppenheimer. Remember, they called him Oppie.
I figured it was Oppenheimer, but, you know, it's not like these people knew him either.
If he was from the Midwest, it would be Oppenheimer, because there was like, oh.
Oh, Oppenheimer. Oh. Open Gangenheimer. Why didn't that become a thing? I guess Gangnam Style's a few years too old. No, but between those two, Marty and Nolan, which one do you pick as best director? Because just think of it in terms of direction.
I don't know. I find it really hard for me to reward an old Italian man for telling the story of the Native American. You know, I don't think we picked the right guy.
Well, I mean, I won't even comment because he did a lot of work towards that end.
But I'd probably pick. I think that Killers of the Flower Moon will win.
Okay.
I'll say that. And then I want Poor Things to win.
Without even having seen it.
Yeah, because I want to like Lanthimos' work, but it always scares me too much, and this is like my entry level into his work.
Honestly, I think that's what's so good about it. It's him at his most whimsical. Man, this is a tough one because I actually think all of these are remarkably well directed. I mean, Jonathan Glazer is low key one of the best directors to ever do it. And every single one of his movies pushes the language of cinema forward in some way. And that includes The Zone of Interest. Sorry. Martin Scorsese, to me, it's like almost boring that he just made another masterpiece. And I love that. I thought the movie was phenomenal, but like when it ended, it was like, yep. Went and saw me another Marty Scorsese masterpiece. Yeah. I mean, Anatomy of a Fall is phenomenally well directed. I think Christopher Nolan will win. And that would not be undeserved. But if I'm trying to pick who I want to win, I think I'm torn between Poor Things and The Zone of Interest.
Well, what's it going to be?
Man. You know what? Yeah, Nolan will win, and I think want to win. I think I'm rooting for Glazer. Zone of Interest.
Zone of Interest.
Because to me, when you nominate directing, you do it because they change the game in some way. And, you know, and I think that's where, like, Gerwig should have been nominated, because there was some game-changing stuff there. I think that's why Nolan's going to win, is because he changed the game in a lot of ways. But, like, The Zone of Interest uses the language of cinema in a different way. and very effectively, and it's all the direction. And also another great performance from Sandra Hüller.
She's in both of those movies?
And she steals both of those movies. She is terrifying in The Zone of Interest.
Damn. Like,
terrifying. Oh my god. Her Zone of Interest is heavy as fuck.
I want to watch it, but I'm like also terrified to watch it.
Well, it's not like it's hard to stomach because there's stuff happening on screen that hurts, but like the way that the movie's shot, it just, you know, it's about people living in a house. It's a high-ranking Nazi and his family living in a nice house with a nice garden that has a fence around it because on the other side of the fence is Auschwitz. And so Everything takes place in their house, but what's going on in the periphery is the worst that humanity's capable of. But what's happening inside the house is a pretty typical family drama, but infused with the cultural, political, and societal norms of Nazi Germany. It's heavy stuff, but I mean, the direction, yeah, I want Glazer.
Yeah, last night I was going to watch that or an episode of Bluey, and I went with Bluey because I feel like that was lighter.
I think in terms of getting some sleep that night, you made the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just Bluey kidding. I've never watched Bluey in my life, but.
Yeah, I actually don't even know what that is.
It's a kid's show. About a dog.
That's what I figured, yeah. Okay, Bluey a dog.
The only reason I know about it is because my coworkers have talked about it.
Oh, well, they probably have kids. Original screenplay?
Yeah.
Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, Past Lives. I haven't seen Past Lives, but I've seen.
You know what I'm not going to vote for on this one, Dan?
What?
Past Lives.
Yeah, I could have guessed that.
I'm going to pass on Past Lives.
I'm going to keep on live and living my life without it.
I'm going to double down here on The Holdovers both ways to Sunday. You know what I mean?
Want to win and will win?
Yeah.
This is tough because like May, December is actually really fun.
Unless I see Anatomy of a Fall, I'm like, this movie's better.
Yeah. I think will win. I think will win. I think Past Lives will win. I think this is where that one rears its head.
Are you serious?
I think it will win. I think for me though, want to win right now.
I'll be so pissed.
Ah man, it's because The Holdovers I think is such a good screenplay, but like. May to December has not showed up anywhere else, and it is really excellent. And I wonder if it could use my love in the ether. So I think past loves will win, and I think May December is what I'm rooting for to win.
Well, then I'm going to root for The Holdovers.
Hell yeah. Because I also want that to win.
I'm not. Yeah, because I mean, maybe.
But I'm going May, December. But, yeah, I think Past Lives wins
this. If Past Lives wins, I'm going to fucking
continue watching the show, eat a snack.
Burn down the theater.
You go into the theater and you find Chris Rock and you hit him.
Because they're not real, so they can't feel pain.
They can't feel pain. Yeah. You just hit Chris Rock. Every category, you're like, fuck this. And you walk in and you're like, Rock! And he turns like, wait, what? Like, boom! And he's like, oh, not again.
Adapted screenplay. We've got American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest.
Best adapted screenplay. I think will win is Oppenheimer. And I think what I want to win is American Fiction.
I am going Barbie.
For will win?
For will win.
And, oh, you know what? That probably could win.
And American Fiction for I Want to Win.
Right on. I think you actually are right. Barbie is probably going to win that. But I'm going to keep it at Oppenheimer just so that we got a little change up there.
You and I have divided the house, the podcast house here, into Oppenheimer camps, and I like it.
Hey, it's Barbenheimer. It's Barbenheimer year, baby. Barbenheimer that's what's gonna happen. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's, of course, it's, they could just take it. I'm rooting for American Fiction because A, I really think that script is excellent. And B, the writer-director Cord Jefferson did a Q&A at the film festival, and I asked him a question, and he gave a really, really thoughtful and kind answer and said, no one's ever asked me about that before. Good question. And I was like, I'm so smart. And so since he made me feel smart, I'm rooting for him to win Best Adapted Screenplay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all about me. If he wins, I win. Because that guy who won called me smart, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you could have a dinner with like a presidential candidate, and then you like kind of want them to win because you're like, oh, I had dinner with the president. Although I really don't think I'd want to eat dinner with the presidential candidate.
I would not. I don't want to eat dinner with anybody in politics.
No, absolutely not. I would rather.
If you're in politics, turn off this podcast.
Yeah. Unless like you're paying.
I'm taking a stance against politics.
Hello, my little sexies. This is Dan from I Like to Movie Movie. Just chiming in here real quick with a reminder to follow the show on Instagram and on Twitter, never X Twitter, at Movie Movie Cast. Also, you can check out our other show, Hot Property, at Hot Property Pod on all of those things. And yeah, reach out to us. Let us know what you want to cover. Let us know what we can do better. Let us know what we should do worse. We just want to converse with you. But thank you so much for listening. And now back to the show. I love you.
Now, for visual effects and for sound, I'm just going to put us both down for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Wait, let me go to the, where is it? Actually, no, visual effects? Okay, so Dead Reckoning Part 1 is pretty fucking awesome. That train, baby. But the thing is, the visual effect in that movie is Tom Cruise.
Yes, that's why we're both voting for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
No, I actually want to say for best visual effects, I think that the creator will win, and I think that I'm actually rooting for the creator as well.
I think that Mission Impossible will win, and that's the end of it.
Well, what are you rooting for?
Mission Impossible.
Okay, just get it on record. Best sound, Creator, Maestro, Dead Reckoning, Oppenheimer, Zone of Interest. I think that's one that Oppenheimer will win, but that's one that I think there's no contest. It should be Zone of Interest. That movie is about sound. Like sound is the key to what makes the Zone of Interest work. So I'm rooting for that, but I think it'll probably go to Oppenheimer.
I again see no contest here. Will be Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
And I guess you're rooting for that as well.
Yeah.
What did we not cover here with the, I want to do cinematography.
Cinematography, editing, costume design.
Yeah. So cinematography is El Conde, which I haven't seen. I heard is good. It's on Netflix. So I will have to watch that at some point. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. This is another one that I think Oppenheimer probably will win, but I'm rooting for Poor Things.
I think Oppenheimer will also win, but I'm rooting for Maestro.
Maestro is a gorgeous movie.
It really is. Yeah. And I like how he plays with the black and white color aspect ratio. All these things are parts of the composition, much like conducting an orchestra.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I think it is a gorgeous movie that really I think uses that kind of direction well and cinematography well. God damn it, I'm not allowed to talk about the movie that I saw last night in regards to color schemes.
No, you're not.
Oh baby.
My favorite part about Maestro was when Bradley Cooper conducted with his penis, which was obviously not a prosthetic.
He was like, I'm writing it in. I'm whipping it out. Started doing helicopters.
Yeah.
What about best original score? So it's American Fiction.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Not that one.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Well, I mean, the score is fantastic because it's just the Indiana Jones score that we all know and love. Oppenheimer and Poor Things.
This one will go to Oppenheimer.
I think this one will go to Killers of the Flower Moon.
Really?
But I am rooting for Poor Things. Poor Things has one of the coolest scores I've ever heard in my life.
I'm also going to root for Poor Things, knowing nothing about it.
Dude, I mean, I actually think you're going to love Poor Things.
I can't wait.
It's very cool.
I hope it comes on streaming soon so I can fucking watch it, because it's not playing anywhere.
Best song? Is that original song.
The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, a Hulu movie about Cheetos.
Heroicizes the guy who stole the idea from a woman. Apparently it's a bullshit movie.
I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. Wazaze, a song for my people from Killers of the Flower Moon. And What Was I Made For from Barbie.
I think Ken will win.
What?
I think it will win, but I'm rooting for, and I don't know how to say it either, so apologies, but Wazaze.
Yeah, I fucked it up too. Now we're both white.
Yeah. Well, there was no question. I know. There really was no question. I constantly fulfill the stereotypes. Except for the don't wash my legs thing. I wash my legs. Apparently that's a stereotype about white people, is that we just let the soap run down to our legs and call it clean. I wash my legs. But if people that are white don't wash their legs, you should wash your legs. That's gross.
I think it will be What Was I Made For from Barbie.
Okay.
And that's what I hope it will be as well.
Right on. I think that's the better song than I'm Just Ken.
That song. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's haunting. It makes me cry every goddamn time I hear it.
And we all have to accept that whoever wins, they're silently sharing it a little bit with Jack Black for Peaches.
Yeah, I mean, really, this whole fucking original song category is a wash because Peaches was not nominated.
I consider every Oscar win to be ever so slightly shared with Taron Egerton for Rocketman. Forever. That doesn't go away because he wasn't even nominated. And he gave the best performance that has ever occurred in the best musical biopic that has ever been made. And for the love of God, we love giving Oscars to those guys, and then we don't give it to the objective best one to ever do it. Sorry. Every Oscar is a little bit Taron Egerton's now.
My balls.
I don't make the rules, but I made that rule.
Makeup and hairstyling? What's next here? Costume design.
Let me find it. Yeah, we did all the big ones. Costume design. Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, or Poor Things. I think it will go to Barbie, and I would like for it to go to Poor Things.
I think it will go to Barbie, and that's because I wanted to.
Well, I think that Barbie would be an extremely well-deserved win in this department.
You would be really remiss if you...
Poor Things is just a little more to my general taste, but it also is, like, really great costumes.
But people have been calling Poor Things the darker Barbie.
Yeah.
Animated feature film. We skipped over this one because I haven't really seen a lot of them, but I did see Nimona and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. The other three are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, and Robot Dreams.
Well, I've only seen Spider-Man. I would like to see The Boy and the Heron and Robot Dreams. I don't care about the other two. So I'm rooting for Spider-Man, but I think The Boy and the Heron will win.
We are in agreement, full-fledged, because Miyazaki?
Yeah.
That's the animation?
Yeah, that's the guy, Miyazaki.
That's the guy there. Yeah, he's due, right?
Yeah.
He's due for a lifetime achievement Oscar, which they hand out like fucking candy after 10 years.
I've heard that movie is like really
staggering. I mean,
they
got Bale.
Yeah.
They got Christian fucking Bale.
I think he's done Miyazaki voices before.
The last time he was in an animated feature was Pocahontas.
Is that true?
No. But he was in Pocahontas.
Dark Knight Rises. Was he in Pocahontas?
Yeah, he played...
I've never seen it.
He played, like, John Smith's, like, right-hand guy, you know?
That's wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Now I kind of want to see it. I didn't give a shit before.
And I think he played the same role in A New World with Colin Farrell.
That tracks. That definitely tracks. Another great Native American actor.
Film editing.
Film editing. Oh, I was at international feature. We have different lists. Best editing.
I wasn't sure if you want to do that. Yeah.
Oh, we'll do it.
Sure. I'll let you take the lead here because I haven't seen anything.
But for best editing?
Best international feature.
Okay. International feature. Lo Capitano, haven't seen it. Perfect Days, haven't seen it. Society of the Snow, I just watched the other day. That movie is fucked up.
You texted the group and you're like, I just don't know what I just watched, but it was fucked up.
Yeah, it's not my favorite movie, but it was good. The Teacher's Lounge and The Zone of Interest. I think that Zone of Interest will win, and I think I am rooting for The Teacher's Lounge. I haven't seen Perfect Days or Lo Capitano, but no, you know what? Actually, I take that back. I was thinking in terms of editing. No, I think that The Zone of Interest will win, and I'm rooting for The Zone of Interest for Best International Feature for sure. Sorry,
Teacher's Lounge. The Zone of Interest will win because it's not. It's in two categories, and they're not going to win Best Picture. So,
yeah,
it's a good consolation.
Well, it also out of this list, it's the best. Although Teacher's Lounge is close.
And I want Society of the Snow to win based solely on the name.
It's a good name. Yeah. I'm double in on Zone of Interest. One and Will. That movie is just astonishing.
Makeup and hairstyling. Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow.
Now this is another one. Like I would feel like Barbie would take this category, but it's not even in it.
No.
Makeup and hairstyling.
To be honest with you, I don't really know what goes into, like, I know, like, we guess these words mean something to us.
Yeah.
When you're in the industry.
Yeah, it could be, I don't know what their tasks are.
It could be more nuanced than we can recognize at first glance.
Yeah. I don't know what Golda is.
Oh, it's that movie about Goldar.
Friend of the show, Goldar. Well,
how many fucking times have we brought up Goldar this year between our two podcasts?
Every time.
A lot of times. Probably too many times. That more times than we should.
If this was Goldar, I would nominate it because they make him grow. That's not easy.
And
that takes a lot of work.
The amount of martial arts that he gets done in that that giant Sphinx costume.
It says a lot about the makeup and hairstyling that when Goldar talks with his dog face, I can really see a lot of emotion coming through. And like a lot of actors would get lost in all that makeup. And even though Goldar's face doesn't actually move and his voice is just dubbed, I can still see so much coming through. And so that's the makeup department.
I can't believe
for my money.
Goldar's not nominated for fucking best actor, man.
It's insane. But, I mean, who needs a gold statue when you are one?
Yeah, exactly. Keep your head up, Goldar. I'm going to go with I think that Poor Things will win, but I really want Goldar to get a win for all the good he's done for the industry.
He's been through so much, honestly, at this point. He never wanted to be the bad guy. He was sort of edged into it by Rita Repulsa.
Yeah.
Best makeup and hairstyling. I actually think Maestro will win. But I'm rooting for Poor Things.
Okay. Sorry, Goldar.
Have you seen what Willem Dafoe looks like in Poor Things?
No. I'm excited to, though.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself. He is a scientist in that movie. Just one that, yeah, dude, Society of the Snow, though, like the way that they made the guys look increasingly starving and lost in the Andes was, really effective.
That's what that movie's about?
Yeah, it's basically the movie Alive with Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, shit.
It's that, but it's like made with actual Uruguayan actors and it's in Spanish. And J.A. Bayona is the director and he's a great director. And he directs the hell out of it. It's harrowing, but, it's long and it's tough.
That's what she said.
Film editing. Film editing.
Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
I think, man, this is tough.
I think it's Oppenheimer to win. Poor Things to win.
This is a tough one because Killers of the Flower Moon is Thelma Schoonmaker, who is like the, she is Scorsese's editor, and she's damn good. So it's always nice when she gets an Oscar. And she is a great editor. I do think Oppenheimer will win though. Oppenheimer will win. I think I'm going to root for the holdovers simply because a lot of really solid dramatic moments and solid comedic punchlines are actually created in the edit. And that's something that I enjoy personally. So I'm going to root for holdovers, even if it's maybe not the most dynamically edited movie. Yeah, rooting for the holdovers. I think Oppie takes it. Poopenheine takes it.
All right. Have you seen any of the short films?
Let's see.
Anyway, we had to do production design. Sorry. Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things.
Let me find it on here because my memory's shot. I immediately forgot everything. Production design, Barbie.
Man.
I think Barbie's going to win. This is the category that I would most pick Barbie for, but I think I'm actually rooting for Poor Things.
Do you want me to put that in your hope pile or your prediction pile?
Hope pile, Poor Things, prediction pile, Barbie for sure. Barbie wins this.
Got it. Yeah, and Barbie. If Barbie doesn't win this, I have no faith in humanity.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lock.
All right. Have you seen any Goldar of the documentary nominated. Shorts?
Documentary shorts, maybe.
Documentaries?
Documentaries, where are you at? I have not seen Bobby. Okay, so I have not seen any of the documentary features. So we don't have to worry about that.
We'll just take a random guess. I'm going to go with To Kill a Tiger because that sounds pretty badass.
I'm going to go with 20 Days in Maripol because somebody told me that was really, really good.
All right.
Somebody told me that 20 Days in Maripol was really, really, good movie. Really, 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 really
song.
And it won't be back in February of next year. Documentary short, I have not seen any of these either.
I'm going to go, okay, they are The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nine-Eye and Why Poe.
I think
I'm going to go with The Last Repair Shop.
I like that one, but I think ABCs of Book Banning will win.
Yeah, that
because
seems
that feels like hot button
right now.
Did you see what happened to last year? The best documentary of last year was Navalny. Navalny was a documentary about this guy, Navalny, a journalist who left Russia because he was exposing Putin and stuff. And
didn't he just die?
He died in a Russian prison. The movie was all about him returning to Russia and hoping not to get arrested, immediately getting arrested at the airport. And at the time the movie wraps, he is currently in a Russian jail. Less than a year later, he's fucking dead.
And he left horrifying. A video for his comrades.
Horrifying.
That's wild.
Horrifying. It's crazy.
Probably the worst year of his life.
It was certainly the worst and definitely the last, but his wife got an Oscar, which is nice. Mm. But, you know, what kind of evil country puts journalists in jail? America would never do that three times in the last year or so, even.
We leave the politics to, you know, NPR.
Yeah. And I don't say that I'm saying fuck Russia. Fucking dinguses.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah. Leave that to the suits in Washington.
They buy a lot of our ads, so be nice to the Russians.
Yes. No.
Oh,
the only
sorry.
Thing they got going for them is Rocky IV and Russian dressing.
That's not even Russian.
But, I mean, they had to lend them the name.
Yeah. Animated short film.
I have never seen
any of
these.
By the way, I'm supposed to be seeing the shorts tonight, but instead I'm recording a podcast with you.
I used to go to the shorts every year, And they just always disappoint. So I just never
could have gone together and recorded during them and really disrupted everybody's time at the movies.
Now that I'm into.
Yeah.
But no, I the shorts don't typically interest me anymore. But if I were to pick one, I'm going to go with Letter to a Pig because it's a great name.
I'm going to go to – so the other ones are 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, and War Is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. You know what I'm not going to vote for? That one.
Yeah, that one, because John Lennon and Yoko Ono, with all due respect, they're a couple of fucking dorks, and I don't want them to – I don't want that to win.
Yeah. I'm going to vote for 95 Senses because I like the song, because you can plug it into – I got 95 Senses, but – you know, if you were Daredevil, sight ain't one.
That's pretty good. I thought you were going to go the other way with the song. And I'm working 95 senses in the movie.
Well, I'm working 95 for the census.
Oh.
The live action short films are as follows. The After. Invincible. Knight of Fortune. Red, White, and Blue. And The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
I've only seen The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, and I'm rooting for that because it's Wes Anderson, and that would be kind of cool if Wes Anderson won a Oscar for doing a short film. Will it win? Fuck it, sure, why not? I haven't seen the other ones. Put my X's on The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
I'm going to vote for Invincible because of Mark Wahlberg playing football.
The New Kids on the Block movie.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it. I mean, as far as the ballot goes.
Yeah, we typically don't even cover them all, but we actually did them all. Right on. Yeah. And so the Oscars is going to be, what day is it on?
Live Sunday, March 10th on ABC, 7 Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Red carpet coverage will start on that channel around 6:30, but you can go to E! For your daily coverage of everything red carpet.
I have to look up how I'm going to watch it, because I actually don't have television. And I have a television. I guess I can stream it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
But like, I didn't watch the Super Bowl this year because I had no way to access it without doing a trial on an app. And I have this weird thing where, like, I'm like, it's against my principles to sign up for an app just to watch something and then close it out. Like, I don't like the free trials.
I love free trials.
It's a really stupid bias that I have. It makes absolutely no sense. But I was like, I'm not downloading Paramount Plus and signing up just to unsign up to watch a Super Bowl that I don't really care about that much. But like, I kind of care about the Oscars, so
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Well, that was it. That's the Oscar coverage. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another classic episode.
Wait, Dan, who are you wearing?
What's up?
Who are you wearing tonight?
Oh, who am I wearing? Under Armour.
Oh, nice. I'm wearing tech something. I can't read the tag, but it was like tech specs for Kohl's.
Well, this might actually not be Under Armour. I think it is, but it is from Kohl's. Oh, wait a minute. Dude. Tech gear.
Tech gear. That's okay. What I'm wearing.
It's not Under Armour. Yep.
Tech gear.
That's hell yeah. I'm also wearing Tech Gear.
Official outfit of the Oscars.
I was at the gym. I had to do it.
I just like being comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, activewear is the way to go.
I feel like our generation has really leaned in the athleisure.
Oh, yeah. Dude, when I win my Oscar, I'm going to accept it in Tech Gear.
What? That's a good thing. Can we really quick do an acceptance speech?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's see. You just won for your role as Robert Downey Jr. in My Life in the Tin Can, the biopic of Robert Downey Jr.
That's the full title, the biopic of Robert Downey Jr. Like, wow, oh my God. I'll tell you what, man, 30 years ago, I was doing a podcast, and in the podcast, we talked about how much we loved Robert Downey Jr. and how we were predicting that he would one day win an Oscar. It was the year that he was nominated for Oppenheimer, which was very inspiring for a lot of different reasons. Now, we all know that it ultimately went to Ryan Gosling, but during this podcast when we were talking, it never occurred to me that one day I would be accepting an Oscar And moreover, for accepting one for playing, frankly, one of the best guys to ever do it, the late, great Robert Downey Jr. And I would be remiss if I didn't use this platform to say that addiction is a struggle that even when you kick your habits, they can always come back. It's a fight that goes on forever, and it takes a real Iron Man to win that fight. And whereas Robert Downey Jr. ultimately lost that fight, it's a fight that I think he fought with honor, and it's with great honor that I accept this. I would like to thank my wife, Kate Blanchett. I would like to thank my mom and my dad, who are both 122 today, and still kicking. And most of all, I would like to thank one of my best friends in the whole world, Stephen Richards, who wrote this movie based off of the book that he wrote, My Life in the Tin Can, The Life and Times of Robert Downey Jr., a biopic of Robert Downey Jr., the book that he adapted. Without him, none of this would be possible. Take your kids to the movies. Take your kids to the movies. Take your kids to the movies. I love you. Goodbye.
I'm really glad that the Oscar band decided to play over the part about Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Well, he overdosed, man. He relapsed. What are you going to do? Robert Downey relapsed. Relapsed Downey Jr. All right. So, Steven, here's your Oscar. Congratulations. You have just won the Oscar for hair and makeup on the wildly, wildly anticipated sequel, Barbie versus Kong.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, man. Wow. I can't believe I'm here. This is an absolute dream. When I first wandered into that makeup tent on the set of Barbie versus Kong, I didn't really fully understand where I was and what was happening. I had just taken a fair amount of mushrooms and started walking around aimlessly. And they said, hey, put some more hair on that monkey. And I said, all right, I'll do it. And I did it pretty well, I guess. And this is when everyone will laugh. And then, before I knew it, here I am at the Oscars. Accepting an award. Which, so glad they came back. Really, really glad. Because 30 years ago, I was recording a podcast. And we had just won, makeup award that year was given to some film I forgot, but it wasn't Maestro. And I don't remember a lot about that night. That's when I took the mushrooms. And then the next thing I knew, I was working on Barbie vs. Kong. Everyone I knew had left me, and I was a completely different person. So here I am.
It's why I'm wearing tech gear. I just woke up.
Why I'm wearing tech gear still, 30 years later, doing hair and makeup for Barbie vs. Kong, and it's been a hell of a ride. Thank you so much.
Love it. Beautifully done.
See, the thing about if you don't thank anyone, no one can be mad.
That's true.
You know?
My favorite thing that ever was said in an acceptance speech is, because it resonated with me so much, was when J.K. Simmons won for supporting actor for Whiplash. Do you remember what he said in his speech?
Yeah, he said, call your parents.
Don't text. Call them. If you're lucky enough to have your parents, call them. And, like, I don't know, that always stuck with me. I thought that was very nice. And I also liked when Joe Pesci just grabbed the statue, leaned into the microphone, was just like, it's a great honor, thank you, and then walked off the stage, because he's not a man for speeches.
No.
Classy. Classy.
Well, I don't have anything else to say.
As Forrest Gump would say, that's all I have to say about that. Now I've got to go take care of my AIDS baby.
I also have to go take care of my AIDS baby.
He's just jamming shrimp into a baby's mouth. That's all he knows. Come on. Yeah, so
shrimp, it's me.
Do it for Bubba.
Plays Forrest Gump in Forrest Gump 2, Forrest Gump vs. Kong.
My mother always said to me that life is like a box of schnitzel. You never know what you're going to get.
Not take that, Kong.
And so I started running, and then I never stopped running. I kept running and running and running, and soon I was running across the country. I wiped my face with a blanket and look, it made the happy face stickers that you all love. I'm a part of history. I told JFK, I said that I had to pee, I had too much Dr. Pepper. How funny. That's very funny.
Oh no, here comes... Alright, we gotta
look at that, it's King Kong. He's a monkey. He has biceps the size of the ones that I carry around. He's no match for me.
He drives the shrimp boat out into the water to meet Kong. That's it. That's all I got. Yeah,
he waves.
I mean, like, for the last standoff.
Oh, yeah. And then he feeds his fucking AIDS baby.
That's what.
There should be an alternate version of Forrest Gump where he's the one who kills Kennedy. You know, like, we're going through history and he shoots Kennedy.
Yeah, I
mean, or like he's like on a plane, and then it turns out it's the 9/11 plane, and it's just like old man Forrest Gump is there, and he's somehow just like, you know, like, and then I ran off the plane, and I kept running when I hit the ground in New York City. I always wanted to see the two towers, but I couldn't do it anymore.
This is getting dark.
Dude, I love the idea of Forrest Gump somehow, because like he affected everything else. Or, like, he's outside the OJ trial, and one of the lawyers drops the evidence glove. So then Forrest Gump's just like, you dropped your glove, you can have mine. And then that's the glove that doesn't fit on OJ. So, like, OJ gets acquitted because of Forrest Gump. He touches everything.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, okay. I've had enough.
Yeah.
All right, so that was our Oscars breakdown. Again, please like and subscribe. You can follow the show at MovieMovieCast on all the things. Stay posted to the social medias, and we'll let you know what we're covering next time. And yes, check out our other show, Hot Property, at Hot Property Pod, on all of the things. And, you know, shoot us an email. Let us know. Shoot us a message on any of the social medias. Let us know what you want us to cover. We will cover it.
Text one.
It'll be good. You know, also, if you want to be a guest, come on. We're going to get some guests this year. That'd be cool.
Yeah. If you know Christopher Guest, we want to start with him.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
That would be very cool. But I think he's making Spinal Tap 2.
Fuck!
Yeah, so he's busy. And his wife's an Oscar winner now, so.
Oh.
There you go. Anything you would like to plug?
No.
Steven really wants to
Don't
go, so we'll wrap
past
it up.
Past lives.
That's his message for you.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's not what you want to see. I haven't seen it, so I can't judge. All right, well, that's been I Like to Movie.
We'll
see you
at the movies.
At the movies.